Our study this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 50. We're going to entitle our study, Go Back to Jerusalem to Find the Christ. We'll notice in this passage how Joseph and Mary, being devout Jews, were going to Jerusalem to observe the feast of the Passover. And Jesus, being now 12 years old, he would travel with the bigger boys, no doubt in the back of the company, as they traveled in large groups. And thus it was not a case of parent neglect, nor was Jesus being disrespectful as he stayed in Jerusalem. And Joseph and Mary were not aware of that. So we want to study this morning and discuss four questions to help us as we learn from our text. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. That's something we all must do if we're of the age of accountability. And something we want to mention, we want to, of course, invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street. That's in Martinsville. Yes, as we gather in our Bible classes, we're studying God's precious word. And then in the assembly, we gather to worship God in spirit and in truth. That is, with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else to mention, we are always ready to have Bible studies. Look forward to those opportunities. And we're glad to answer your Bible questions. We appreciate your comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, before we get into our study, I wanted to mention I received a letter, and as I said, we appreciate your comments, positive or negative. Well, this would be a negative one, I guess you could say, as it's starting out, Bob Hawkins, repent of your pride and turn from your sin. Your pride of life is not from above. Your pride is devilish. Repent while it is yet day. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Fast for 3 days. Be still. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sins. Sincerely a daughter of God. Submit yourself to God. Well, I appreciate this lady's concern for my soul. I wish she would have let me know, though, what brought about her thinking that I was full of pride. And was it something I said in a sermon? I cannot apologize for preaching the truth. Now, if I misquoted something or was out of line in my teaching, I would appreciate being shown where I was wrong. I would be glad to repent of that, but you need to let me know. And so this being anonymous, I don't know who to respond to. So I hope you'll consider that request and let me know what happened, what I said, and we'll work at that. And I'll pray for you. And again, I appreciate your concern. So we'll go ahead now and mention this for all of you traveling. We want you to be safe. There's a lot of traffic nowadays and things are in a rush. So we want everybody to stay safe, especially with a new variant now coming out and all these things. So again, we appreciate all our listeners and their families. We want everybody to stay safe. So let's now get into our study. Luke chapter 2, we'll start with verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph, his mother, knew not of it. But, notice verse 44, this is important. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, that would have been in the back with the older boys, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. So we're going to discuss four questions to help us learn from our text. Starting with verse 44, we ask the question, why did Joseph and Mary go a day's journey without Jesus? Well, the answer should be obvious there in verse 44. They supposing him to have been in the company. They had traveled a day's journey from Jerusalem, going back home, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. So what happened is Mary, yes, the mother of Jesus, Joseph, not the biological father, as we know, but certainly a concerned parent, assumed that Jesus was with them as they left Jerusalem. Supposing, yes, that he was with the company, in the company. Now, here's the lesson for us today. As members of the Lord's church, any of us, preachers, elders, deacons, teachers, wives of preachers and teachers and elders and so forth, doesn't matter, any of us is the point. We can assume, that is, we can suppose that we are walking with the Lord, but actually be in darkness. We don't want to be assuming anything in the spiritual realm, do we? We don't want to suppose that we're walking with the Lord. No, we want to be sure about that. As you know from the scriptures, we cannot continue in sin and be in the light. We can't walk with the Lord and be in darkness. In Romans 6, 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But if we do not walk in the light, we are not cleansed by the blood of Christ. Now that's clear, isn't it? If we're not in the light, walking with the Lord, we're not cleansed by the blood of Christ. That's as plain as it can be said. We must not assume. We must know. By keeping the commandments of the Lord, we have to know what the commandments of the Lord are in order to keep them. 1 John 2:3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. But if we do not keep his commandments, we really don't know the Lord. We don't really know God. That's what the scriptures are saying. And notice how many religious bodies suppose that they have Jesus in their midst. But as we note in Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, the seven ones of unity, very clearly stated, there is one body. That would be one religious organization, one church, in other words, and one spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired the scriptures. Even as you are called in one hope, we have one aim of your calling, one Lord. Christ has all authority. One Lord, one faith, one system of faith. That's right. One baptism, the practice. Yes, and it's the Great Commission baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Unity of worship. That's right. So let's be sure we understand what the scriptures are teaching. Not many bodies, but one body. Notice that Jesus stated in the Sermon on the Mount, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." If we're not doing the will of the Father, we can say, Lord, Lord, all we want. We can testify to folks how much we're serving the Lord and doing all these things. But if we're not doing the will of the Father, then we're not entering into the kingdom of heaven. It's that clearly stated, and no one should miss it. Matthew 7:21, there it is. In Proverbs 14:12, note, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So I can feel very strong in my heart, just be so sure. But if I'm wrong, the end thereof are the ways of death when it comes to salvation, I can't assume, I can't suppose. I've got to know by the scriptures. I can't take someone else's word for it. They could be wrong. Bob Hawkins can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. And if we're not staying with the truth, we missed it. No matter how strong our feelings are, and they can be very strong. Remember Joseph? Yes, he grieved greatly for Joseph, sat in sackcloth and ashes, mourned for his son's death, but his son hadn't died. That's how strong feelings can be. But let's go on. Notice verse 45. "And when they found him not," they looked and looked, "they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him." Well, that's the title of our lesson, isn't it? Go back to Jerusalem to find the Christ. That's what they did. "And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions." Where did they find Jesus? That's our second question. And verse 46 is the answer to the question. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. So Jesus was found by Joseph and Mary in the temple of God at Jerusalem. That's important, very significant. This was the Father's house. That's right. Now, again, the application here. One can find Jesus today by going back to the New Testament church, which was built by Christ. Where? Where did it begin? In Jerusalem, on the day of Pentecost, which was on the first day of the week. Jesus, in Matthew 16:18, said to Peter, yes, that his confession was right. Yes, upon this rock that you stated, Peter, I will build my church. Jesus was the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Peter was right in stating that. And that's the foundation in which Jesus would build his church. So it was future at that time because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross. He purchased the church with his precious blood. And so that's coming at the time that Jesus said that, Matthew 16:18. Now go with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem." See there? That's important. "But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." Now they were to do what Jesus said. They were to wait in Jerusalem. And now we go to chapter 2, verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they," who is they? Verse 26, preceding chapter 2, "and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell into Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." So the 12 apostles were all with one accord in one place. And you see, they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice that verse 4. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem. There they are, staying there where Jesus commanded them to stay. They're to wait in Jerusalem, and they did. And they received power from on high as Jesus had promised. The kingdom shall come with power, Mark 9:1. Notice that. The kingdom is coming with power. And the Holy Spirit gave them the power to speak in languages that all the people present could understand the gospel of Christ. Now this is the day the church began, because you see in verse 47, as 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel. Yes, verse 41, and they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What church did he add them to? There was only one church that he could add them to, his church, his body, the spiritual body of Christ. Notice 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, does it not make sense that Jesus is the head of one body, which is his body, and thus it should be called the church of Christ because he possesses it? Well, of course it makes sense. Having all the different religious groups teaching different doctrines is not of God, and everybody should see it. God is not the author of confusion. So where else would one find the Christ? One would not find Christ in just any church, which began in some other place other than Jerusalem. Study Matthew 15:8-15. Nor will one find the Christ at the lake while fishing. Some seem to think so. Worship is to be done in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit with a proper attitude and in truth in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That's right. So let's be sure that we understand where to find Christ. We need to go back to the New Testament church, which was built by Christ and began in Jerusalem. Now let's go on. And as you see, Jesus, it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple. What was Jesus doing? Sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his doctrine and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorry. That's what they asked Jesus. So what is it like? Here's our third question. What is it like without Jesus? Well, it's sorrowful, isn't it? They found Jesus after 3 days. You can imagine parents today losing a child and not finding them until 3 days later. What kind of shape are you in? Well, yes, we can see they were very sorrowful when they realized that Jesus was not with them, just as any loving parents would be. So here's the application. The problem today is that so very many religious people do not realize that they are without Jesus because they are trusting their feelings rather than obeying the law of Christ. As we saw in Matthew 7:21 and Luke 6:46. Yes, we need to know what the Lord says and teach, and his teachings are in the New Testament. So all who are accountable before God should realize that being in sin, being without Christ, is a sorrowful condition. That's what it's like without Christ. It's to be in a very sorrowful condition because it's a lost condition. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Then that's a sad, sad situation. All sin is against the Lord. We better be sure we understand that. Numbers 32:23, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. It's going to turn out like God said it would. Now, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's the fact of the matter. So to die in one's sins is to die without Christ. In John 8:24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now it's not enough just to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Believe here is a part put for the whole. We have to do what Jesus teaches and commands. And so belief is again a part put for the whole. We must do what the Lord teaches and commands. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Who misunderstands that verse? It's too plain. No one can miss it, but how many are missing it today and say it's not necessary to be baptized? Well, the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, said that it is. Now, who do we believe? We better believe the Lord. But let's go on to question number 4. And this would be picking back up with verse 49. After we saw they had sought Jesus very sorrowful. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Here's our fourth question. How do we seek Jesus? And this is vitally important because Jesus asked Joseph and Mary this very question. How is it that you sought me? Now they knew Jesus as their, of course, Mary's son. The Holy Spirit caused her to conceive. Joseph's just as concerned as if he was the biological father. But, of course, he was not. But he's a concerned parent nonetheless. But they should have realized that Jesus was to be about his Father's business. And they did not. So this is the application for us today. Do we seek Jesus by how we desire him to be, or as he really is, as he is revealed to us in God's word? As Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, again the Sermon on the Mount, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, not second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Chapter 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. But if we're not seeking the truth, we can stumble upon it, you know, and learn it that way. But we need to be seeking the true Christ and come to an understanding of his will and obey him. So how do we seek Jesus? Again, that's a question for all of us to answer. Not as we desire him to be, not as someone is related to us, but how he really is. That's how we've got to seek him, as he really is. And that's revealed to us in God's word and we must study ourselves. That's right, not trust someone else to study for us. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're not going back to the Old Testament in order to learn what we're to do in worship to God. We're to go into the New Testament and look at the examples of the Christians, how they gathered together on the first day of the week to break bread, to partake of the Lord's Supper. They would sing and pray, give of their means, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. And Paul preached unto them unto midnight, ready to depart on the morrow. So those five avenues are involved in the worship service. But if we're not rightly dividing the word of truth, we're not going to be understanding how we're to worship God. And we're not even going to understand the plan of salvation unless we study from the examples of conversion in the book of Acts. What did they do to be saved? Did they just believe and ask Jesus to come into their heart? No, that wasn't what was said by Peter when those brethren cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Those Jews that heard the truth preached, they wanted to know what to do about their situation of crucifying Christ there in verse 37. And they were really pricked in their conscience, their heart is feeling that. And they asked the proper question, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what purpose, Peter? For the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now that's, see, an example of conversion the day the church began. And you can study on through Acts. Look at all those examples of conversion. What did they do? Well, they would have heard the truth. Peter and the other apostles preached the truth. And they would have believed. They understood that they had crucified Christ. Peter didn't have to tell them that. But then they were to repent, turn away from a sinful life, and do the will of God. They would have made the good confession before salvation, Romans 10:9-10. But you see, they were to be baptized for the purpose of forgiveness of sins. And then they were added to the body of Christ by the Lord himself, verse 47. Now let's stay with the word of God. We stand ready here at Morgan Street to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, studying further. We need to back up what we teach and preach by the word of God. And if I'm incorrect in doing so, I want to be corrected. I can assure you of that. So we stand ready, though, to work with you any way we can in helping people in submitting to the will of God and putting on Christ in baptism, Galatians 3:27. Thank you so much for listening today.